back of the building after the service, and I saw this old guy heading towards me, and I was like, oh no, this is going to be terrible. This is just going to be like a really boring conversation. I'm going to, you know, be like, these are the stereotypes I had in my mind, right? Like, this is the worst. Please no, please no, please no. Anyway, the guy who was heading towards me was Cliff. And for those of you who know Cliff, he was amazing. And he just started telling me all of these incredible stories of things that God was doing throughout the world, miracles that he'd seen, encounters with God that he'd experienced. And I had a blast. I had like the best conversation ever. It was so encouraging. It fired me up for Jesus. And I was just, I walked away from that conversation not wanting it to end. And this is the beauty of church. What church is we have a whole range of different people coming together, different ages, different backgrounds, different experiences, all coming together to be, as we're going to read about this morning, one body. And I think that is such a beautiful, unique, challenging, confronting thing, that we have all these different people coming together. And so what I hope you get out of this series is that I hope you get this, I hope you feel compelled by what church is. I hope you take away from this series a greater sense of belonging to the church as well, because I think it's such a beautiful thing to be a part of, and it's had such an impact on my life, and I hope yours as well. Though I do also want to recognize that not everyone has had a positive experience of church. Again, in this room, we have a range of experiences. And for some of you, perhaps you've had, whether here or elsewhere, perhaps you've had a not so good, let's say, experience of church. And that's heartbreaking. It's also understandable considering church is filled with broken people. And God has, you know, in his wisdom, which is beyond my understanding, decided to bring together a whole range of different people and not make them all the same, actually make them different. And that's going to cause some difficulty. It's going to cause some hard situations. So that's completely understandable. And that's what I want to talk about. So as Jim said, got this kind of mini series. So last week, Jim spoke about church as a family. This week, I'm talking about church as the body. Next week, Brad's going to talk about church as the bride. So that's exciting. He's going to be talking about being brideful. Here's the plan for this morning. This morning, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So could I encourage you, if you have your Bibles here today, to open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's going to be, we're going to have it on the screen, but it won't always be on the screen. So it'll just be handy for you to have it open physically or digitally. So just before we dive in, I want to set the scene a little bit for this part of the Bible. This is a letter that Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And what's going on in this church is there are so many people who are divided. They are divided because of the kind of teachers that they really like. They say, oh, I'm with Paul. And some say, I'm with Apollos, or I'm with Peter. So they're all divided over the kind of preachers that they like. Thankfully, the church never does that these days. Sarcasm. And so they're divided over knowledge. You know, some people who claim to have some kind of special knowledge, and they're divided over all these different lines. And throughout the letter, including the chapter we're going to look at, but all throughout the letter, Paul is emphasizing the importance of unity. He's emphasizing that unity is far more important than these other things that cause division. So when knowledge divides, he says love builds up, but knowledge puffs up. And so we need to pursue love. And here in this chapter, he's been talking about spiritual gifts, and he's been emphasizing people's differences. He says, God gives different gifts to different people, but he says it's the one Spirit that gives the gifts. So there's differences, but we're also unified. And we're going to talk about that a little bit as we get into this section. So that's just kind of to set the scene a little bit for what we're going to be reading about. It's 2,000 years ago, but many of the issues which Paul talks about are still relevant for us today. We still need to be reminded of the importance of unity and the importance of people being different. Okay, so here's what I'd like to draw out of this passage. I want to draw out three things. We're asking the question, well, if being the church means being the body, what does it mean to be the body? And I think being the body means being diverse. God has brought together a whole bunch of different people who are different wirings and different personalities and different viewpoints, and he's brought them together to be one. So we're diverse, but we're also one. And when you bring all these different kinds of people together, something that's really common for us to experience is comparison, that we will find ourselves comparing ourselves with those who are different from us, or those who are even similar to us, we'll find ourselves comparing ourselves to them as well. And that's the comparison is one of the things that creates that division. So it might be a little harsh language, but I'm going to talk about killing comparison because I think it's so sneaky and we need to cut it off at its root. So that's what we'll be getting into. And then after we kill comparison, we need to realize that we each carry something unique. The beauty of differences, all these different people coming together to be part of one body, is that we all carry something that's unique. And so what does it look like for you to play your part? The thing that makes you come alive, the thing that you've always wanted to see happen in church, but you never saw happen. That's what God is calling you into. And so what does it look like for us to play our part in the body? So that's the plan. We're going to talk about being diverse, killing comparison, and playing our part. Sound good? All right. So I wondered if there was anyone named Alexander in the room. Going to get Xander to read out the first section. We're starting in verse 12. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And Alexander's going to read out this passage. Yeah.
The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. For the body has many different parts, but not just one part.
Nice. Well done. Nice. Yeah. Well done, Xander. That's so good. So I want to draw out a few things, a few thoughts from this passage. But before I do, I'd like to, something that we often do here is we like to get into groups and talk about it. Feel free, if you don't want to share in your group time, you're not obligated to. I'm not here to try and force people to talk, but I also think it's a great thing. I think that you have something valuable to offer. And so those people around you can actually really benefit if you do share. So no obligation, but I'd love for you to share. We're going to have three different discussions this morning. So the first one, Paul's talking a lot about different people in this passage. So what helps us to be connected to others who are different from us? What helps us to be connected to others who are different from us? So turn to maybe two or three people around you and chat about this for the next few minutes. All right, so let's wrap up our thoughts there. What I'd like us to do is I'd like us to imagine we live in the first century. We live in the first century, you know, a couple of decades after Jesus was around, and we are a Roman official. We are a person of authority, and all our lives we've been taught that the gods have structured society in the kind of way that creates harmony, which creates the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, where people are in authority because the gods have placed them there, and others are slaves because the gods have placed them there. This is what we've believed our whole lives. And recently, you have been hearing about and been quite interested in this new group of Jews. Are they Jews? Are they not Jews? I'm not sure. These Christ followers, these Christians is one of the ways that people insult them. And they have been gathering together in these homes and businesses. You've been quite compelled by this. So you go to one of these house churches, and what you see shocks you to your core, because at the one table, as if they're equals, you see slaves and free people eating together. The slaves aren't serving the free people. The slaves are eating as if they are one with the free people. Jews and Greeks, all these different people eating and being unified. This would be, there's a fantastic book that I listen to because it's easier to listen to things. You can read it if you want. it's called Letters from Pergamum. It's a historical fiction. This Bible nerd basically imagines what it's like to be a Roman officer, and he's writing letters to Luke, as in the guy who wrote the gospel according to Luke. He's writing letters to Luke, and he's basically doing what I was just doing just then, imagining how would a Roman official have reacted to something like church. And I think it's something like that. They would be shocked to see all these different kinds of people coming together and being one. And that's what Paul's saying here, that some are Jews and some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we're all being baptized into the one body. We are different, but we are one. And those differences don't disappear either, but yet they are also still one. And so this is what it means to be part of church. This is what it means to be the body. Being the body means being one with those who are different from you. And that is challenging. It's not just something that's offensive back then, 2,000 years ago. It's something that we will still find ourselves challenged with even today, but perhaps for different reasons. When you're bringing people together who have different personalities, some persons are very, very vocal about their opinions, and the other person really doesn't want to have any conflict at all. You have some people who have different political worldviews. You have some people who have grown up in different backgrounds, in different cultures, different races and ethnicities, and all of these people are brought together and called to be one body, brought together by one spirit. This is what it means to be the church. And so if you find yourself a part of church community and offended or challenged or uncomfortable by other people, it's not surprising. This is welcome to being human. Welcome to being a part of a diverse community. And the temptation is this. The temptation is where there are differences, it often results in disconnection. When we find ourselves meeting someone, encountering someone, being in relationship with someone who is different from us, we might feel a bit disconnected. Some people feel like, oh, no one in that church is like me. I feel like the odd one out. And that's the feeling we might get. And it's in that moment where I believe we need to more intentionally choose to be connected, more intentionally choose to lean into relationship. Even though it's difficult, God is going to give you the strength, the ability to do that. But it's so easy to just be like, I'm going to go to the next church, or I'm going to do church online, or I'm going to disconnect. We need to allow, I believe we need to allow people to be who they are and for us to be fully who we are. And so I think that it's possible. I have a vision for it being possible for church to be an example of what it means to disagree well, where we can say, well, I see it like this. And the other person say, I see it like this. And both people are saying, I love you. And you are a brother or sister in Christ. You are someone, we're part of the same body, and yet we disagree well. What a gift that would be to the world, to actually show what it means to love and disagree. That kind of thing excites me. I know it doesn't always excite everyone, but I think it's beautiful. Because the reality is this: unity requires diversity, otherwise it's uniformity. What I mean by that is otherwise we're all just the same. We're one form, uniform, one form. We're just cookie cutter copies of Christians. Look at that. you know, and that's not what we're called to be. We're called to have differences. And those differences are okay, but at the same time, we can be unified. We can say, I still love you. So I hope that we can be known as a people who are diverse, who are different from one another, but at the same time unified. All right, so that's being the body means being diverse. That's the first one. Move on now to the next part of our passage, and I'm going to get Di to read this next one. This is verses 15 to 20. Woo!
Oops, thank you. This is from 1 Corinthians 12, 15 to 20. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less of a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would it be if it had only one part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body.
Thank you, Di. That's wonderful. So, yes, we are different. We have many different parts, but we are one body. And when there are these differences, it's the temptation that creeps in is comparison. It's so easy to see someone who's different from us and wish that we were like them, or think that we're better than them, which is another kind of comparison. So my second discussion that I want to invite you to be a part of is what helps us to stop comparing ourselves with others? What are the kinds of things that help us to stop comparing ourselves with others? So turn to those around you and invite you to discuss that. I just thought I might share a few thoughts from that passage, because comparison is something that I find myself doing so often. I find myself comparing myself to others so easily. It's something that is so sneaky. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. And the thing is, no matter how you cut it, someone ends up losing with comparison. Someone needs to lose when you compare. Either I say, oh, you know, that person is so much better than me, I'm just terrible, and then I lose. Or I say, man, at least I'm not like them, you know, and then they lose. And so no matter how we cut it, someone ends up losing. And remember, the thing that Paul's doing in 1 Corinthians is he's addressing unity. And what comparison does is it emphasizes division. Comparison separates myself from the other person. And what's really sneaky about it, what's really sneaky about comparison is that it can creep into our encouragements and celebrations and honor of other people. So just to use a fairly meaningless example, if I wanted to encourage Jim's popcorn making, right? I might say, Jim, you are so good at making popcorn. I mean, I'm terrible at making popcorn. Every time I make popcorn, it's burnt and it doesn't even pop. I don't think you can call it popcorn, but you make popcorn so well and I love eating your popcorn. I wish I could make popcorn as tasty as your popcorn. Now, maybe we're a bit subtler about it than that, but sometimes what if you listen to what I said, I was talking about myself so much more than I was talking about Jim. And yeah, I might have technically been building Jim up, but I did it by tearing myself down. It's so easy for us to do this kind of thing, for us to tear others down in order to tear ourselves down in order to build others up. And this is what comparison does. This is the kind of division that comparison creates. And I think we're called to be a people who are so confident in who we are that we can celebrate others without needing to talk about ourselves, and honor others without needing to dishonor ourselves or self-deprecate. And so, and where it gets really kind of delusional is that comparison ends up causing us to deny reality. Deny things that are actually true. Like Paul says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye. Well, what a ridiculous thing to say. Like, it's your eye, like Paul says, how strange would it be if the whole body were an eye? It's not... Yeah, I mean, I think Paul would have wanted to laugh when he wrote that, surely. We end up believing bizarre things about ourselves and about others if we allow comparison to creep in. And we end up denying who we are. By emphasizing the fact that we're not that, we forget who we are. And so it's so important to remind ourselves of who we are. And I believe that we are called to be that kind of people. The kinds of people who are confident in who they are and therefore can celebrate others without comparison. So, being the body means being diverse but also one, and it means killing comparison, which often creeps in when there is that diversity. So last one that we're going to chat about is what it means to be playing our part. So I'm going to, as someone who's somewhat in between Xander and Di, I'll read the third one. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 to 26. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. So, yeah, Paul is showing us this importance of knowing what we're called to do, knowing that we need others and what they're called to do as well. So I'd like us to chat about in our groups what helps us to discover and also enjoy our unique part in the body. What helps us to discover and enjoy our unique part in the body? So in your groups, and chat about that one for the next few minutes. Has done something really beautiful in bringing together different kinds of people, because the thing that gets you excited, the thing that you're so passionate about, is the thing that we need. And it's often the thing that does not excite other people, and that other people might find really difficult, the thing that you find really energizing. So just some thoughts from this passage is one, that you carry something unique which we need. It's not that some great questions to ask, I think, is what excites you? What gets you passionate? What gets the blood pumping for you? And something that we often believe is, oh, that's something that's helpful at work, or that's something that's helpful at home, but there's not really a place for me to do that kind of thing at church. The church doesn't really need this. And I think it's worth at least asking the question, hey, Brad, or one of the other leaders, like, do you think this could be a thing? Do you think this area is something that I could make a contribution to? Because you never know. You never know that the thing that gets you excited, the thing that lights you up, might be the very thing that we need, and we might not even know it yet ourselves. So it's worth exploring. The other thing is, if there's something, another question to ask is, what kind of makes you feel a bit discontent? Have you ever had the thought of, oh, the church should really do something about this, or the church should really do this in a different way? Well, in a friendly way, you are the church. The thing is, perhaps that's God tapping you on the shoulder and being like, you're that person. You're the one to at least start that conversation. You're the one to make that contribution, to start that thing that is really needed, that once a month air hockey tournament that our community really needs. I don't know, you know. perhaps that is you. And I think it is so such a beautiful thing when people find themselves in their sweet spot, in the area where they are passionate about what they're doing, and they're also doing things that other people would be like, well, I'm not passionate about that at all. I also think that it doesn't mean that it's easy, but it means that you have the fuel to do it. When you're doing the thing that you're called to, you have the energy, you have the fuel, you have the oomph to get through the hard times. And so I'm not saying that it's easy, but I am saying that God will give you the grace, the ability to do it, because you have that calling. And, you know, my last point on the slide might be a bit of a bit of an extreme way of saying it. Obviously, there are people in authority. There's somewhat of a hierarchy. But in this passage, Paul is emphasizing harmony over hierarchy. He's saying, if you think that your gift, that your that your role is less important, it means that it's actually the one that needs more attention and needs more care. And that's, we all need to play our part in seeing that happen, in seeing people being shown honor where it's actually a what Paul calls a less presentable part. We all need to be showing that. So could I invite you all to go on that journey of discovering what is my part to play? What's the thing that I'm discontent about, or the thing that I'm excited about, the thing that God is calling me to do? So what I want to do to wrap us up is I want to invite Brad to come on up woo! What a guy! Whoa! If you could just close this out.
Yeah. How good is that? What a gift Zach is to our body. And there's one word that he used over and over and over and over again. I don't know if you heard it as he was sharing, but the word calling. Call to this, call to that. And that's the most important thing. There's people who have abilities to do things and people have availability to do stuff, but the thing that God calls you to do is the thing that, as Paul said in Ephesians, we are all God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do stuff that God prepared in advance for us to do. So I really don't want to kind of move on to morning tea without creating a space to hear from God. What is He calling you to do? And it's so important, not just for people in ministry or in leadership, to know that they're called, because when you know that you're called, you will push through challenges and difficulties and disappointments because, well, that's what I'm called to do. And so that comes with it. So I really want to just invite us just to pause and just to ask the Father, what are you inviting me to do? And it may be just an encouragement, keep doing what you're doing, or stop doing something that you're doing. I don't know. But there may be something else that He's inviting you to do so that you can enrich His body. You can enrich His body. You are here as a gift, and maybe you're called to be part of another ministry. Maybe there's another church, dare I say, that you're called to be a part of that He's inviting you to be a part of. But if it's somewhere here, that's awesome. But we just want to know what the Father wants to say to us. Can I invite you just to close your eyes? And we just invite your Holy Spirit just to speak to us now. We thank you that you're a God that talks, that you're a God that calls, that you're a God that knows us, that made us uniquely with purpose and intention. And so just now, Father, we just pray. You just drop into our minds anything that you invite us to do as a next step of becoming more of your body, to be playing the part of your body that you created us to be. And it may be finding out what that is, finding out what my giftings are, finding the opportunities. But Lord, you just speak to us now. Just in this next 30 seconds, we just invite you in silence just to allow God to drop thoughts into your mind. God that calls us. One of my favourite verses in the Bible is the encouragement as leaders to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So can I spur you a little bit by just sharing anything that came to mind? And if nothing came to mind, that's perfectly fine. If there was something, I just find it really helpful if God drops something into my mind that He's inviting me to do, there's a whole lot more chance that that's going to actually be outworked if I've spoken it out. So just for the next minute, if you could just, if you're in twos, threes, just really quickly, what was a thought that came to your mind? If you can just quickly do that. There's no more enjoyable conversation that someone in ministry can have than someone come up saying, I feel God inviting me to be more involved, or, and I want to explore that. So I know any of our leaders would be happy to have that conversation with you, and I'd certainly be happy to explore that. And if, whether it's something, as Zach said, you might have something that God's put on your heart that you'd love to be a part of, or I don't know, I just want to be more involved, I want to be playing a more substantial part or a part in the body, we'd love to explore, and I'd love to do that. So just drop me an email, come and see me after the service, send me a text. I'd be very, very happy to have that conversation with you. It's just because it's life-giving. I know it's done for me. People challenging me to going, you should have a crack at this. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. That's perfect. When you know you can't do something that God's called you to do, then you get to experience God in a whole new way. So I just want to wrap up by praying for us. And then afterwards, Jim and Natasha and myself will be available for praying for anyone who just wants, maybe want to hear confirmation from something from God, or just want to be ministered to. We'll make space for you. And I just really invite you to be generous, even this morning, over morning tea, just to connect with somebody, make them feel connected by through conversation, through. So we just bless our morning tea ministry and the people that give generously there. And we just, yeah, so just, we have leaders in this church who are a gift for you, so make good use of them. Yeah. Father God, we just thank you that you call us to be part of something that is so more significant than our own little selves, that we're part of the body of Jesus Christ that will go on for all eternity, that includes billions of people across this planet and some people here in Madawi and New South Wales. And just pray that you help us to appreciate what a gift it is to be part of your body. And just the qualification of being that is Jesus, His grace. He's done everything necessary for us to qualify. So I just pray that you will continue to speak to us, encourage us, and call us into the things that you designed for us to enjoy being, doing, sharing in this community or in whatever church you're calling us to be part of. So just thank you for the word this morning. Help us to be really aware of comparison, comparing ourselves to other churches, comparing ourselves to other people. And we just thank you that it's just by your grace who we are. We're all in process. You're transforming us by your grace to become more and more like Jesus. And you do that through all kind of creative ways. And part of that is in ministry and in service and in being part of the body and bumping around people unlike ourselves. So help us to position ourselves to be transformed through the body in relationships, over morning tea, getting to know people. So bless us, help us to appreciate the gift of the people you've placed around us. Help us to be open to your Spirit's leading and doing the things that are going to bring life to us and life to others. Help us to do that, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.